All right. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Thank you all for being here today. This is the meeting, board meeting of the Board of Examiners and Regional Care Institution Administrators and Assistant Relief Facility Manager. If you're not here for that, you don't have to stay. The board's mission is to protect the health, welfare, and safety of the public, to seek to use the services of nursing care institution administrators and assisted living facility managers. Pursuant to ARS 38-431.02, notice is hereby given to the members of the State of Arizona Board of Examiners, Nursing Care Institution Administrators, and Assisted Living Facility Managers Board, and to the general public that the board will hold a regular monthly meeting, which is open to the public on Monday, September 11th, 2023. Regular board meeting to be held at 1740 West Adams Street. Board meeting room C, Phoenix, Arizona, 85007 at 9 a.m. and it is now 9:05. First, with the disability, may request reasonable accommodations and sign language interpreter, contacting Jack Confer, or via the Arizona Relay Service. Please make your request as early as possible to allow time to arrange the accommodation. The board president reserves the right to change the order of the items listed in the agenda, except for matters scheduled at a specific time. Board members may be present by telephone. During the course of the meeting, the board may, on a majority vote of the quorum, of the members may hold an executive session for purposes of obtaining legal advice from the board's attorney on any matter listed on the agenda pursuant to ARS 38-431.0383 and for the purposes of discussion or consideration of confidential material pursuant to ARS 38-431.0382. The executive session will be held immediately after the vote and will not be open to the public. As a reminder, the resident's name is confidential, so you must refer to a resident by their initials or the resident. So do not use their name, but just initials or the term resident. Items that are referenced as a consent agenda may be considered as a single action unless a board member removes a specific item for review, discussion, and action separately from other consent agenda items. The board will review, discuss, and may take action on the following matters listed on the agenda. The agenda for September 11th, 2023, regular board meeting is as follows. First, we start with a roll call.
President Kidder.
Here.
Vice President Archer.
Here.
Member Campbell.
Here.
Member Stephen.
Here.
Member Hill. Absent. Member Brimhall.
Present.
Member Cook, absent.
Here.
Oh, by telephone. Member Cook, present by telephone. Member Felix.
Here.
And Member Coford.
Here. All right, very well, thank you. Okay, at this time, we have declarations of conflicts of interest, ARS 38-503. And I do have a conflict and recuse myself in 6A2, and that is Jennifer Coda, complaint number 2023 NCI 0129. Are there any other conflicts?
I have
one. It is item 6, 10.
C10, sorry.
C10?
Yep.
Next, we move on to the call to the public. Persons who want to address the board do not need to request permission in advance, but they do need to complete a request to speak to the board form, so that the board is aware that they are here and that they want to speak to the board. Each person who wants to address the board will be given 5 minutes to do so. However, the board may limit the number of persons speaking on each issue to a reasonable number of persons, which are the ARS 38-431.02H. Board can discuss or take action only on matters that are listed on the agenda. Board action on issues that are not listed on the agenda is limited to directing staff to study the matter or to schedule a matter for further discussion at a future board meeting. And at this time, is there anybody that wishes to address the board that is not already listed on the agenda? All right, hearing none, we move on. Review discussion of possible action on approval of minutes. The board may go into executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.0382 to discuss confidential information, or ARS 38-431.0383 to receive legal advice. Discussion or a motion for approval of the draft regular meeting minutes August 14, 2023, and draft executive session meeting minutes August 14, 2023. Susan moves.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, very well, thank you. All right, review, discussion, and possible action on formal administrative hearings, proposed consent agreements, or motions to deem allegations admitted. The board may go into executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.0382 to discuss confidential information, or ARS 38-431.0383 to receive legal advice. So this is regarding the complaint of notice of hearing for Bethel Cabidi, complaint number 2022-NCI-0018. The time is now 9:11.
Mr. President, members of the board, if we're going to do introductions, we have the respondent appearing by Google Meets. When we do that introduction, we'll do the sound check to make sure that we can hear her and she can hear us. And then we'll allow the proceeding to begin, if that's okay with you.
Yes. All right, we'll get started. Can you see me? Just audio?
Yeah, she should be on audio and video on the computer. Okay. Manager, is it Cabetti? I don't know how to pronounce your last name. Can you hear us okay?
Yeah, you're right, please.
Okay, can you just introduce yourself? Thank you. Can you introduce yourself real quick to the board?
All right, welcome. Thank you for joining us by technology today. And thank you for somebody who's younger than me that understands. Yes. No. All right. Give us a couple minutes. We've got some procedural things to get started. So this will be the formal hearing. Today is September 11th at 9:12 a.m. in the SCIA board room in the matter dealing with Bethel Cabidi, case number 2022-NCI-0018, scheduled to be heard by the Arizona Board of Examiners and Nursing Care Institution Administrators and Assisted Living Facility Managers. The subject of this hearing is set forth in the complaint and notice of hearing. This is a formal administrative hearing to determine if there have been any violations of board statutes and rules and whether disciplinary action is warranted. Board members present for this hearing are, roll call please.
President Kidder.
Here.
Vice President Archer.
Here.
Member Campbell.
Here.
Member Stephen.
Here.
Member Brimhall.
Present.
Member Cook.
Here.
Member Felix?
Here.
Member Coford?
Here.
All right, girl, thank you. Items in the record. Let the record show that the board members have been furnished with copies of the complaint and notice of hearing, the respondent's answer if one was filed, and all pleadings of record. And we also have another packet here that was handed out in person, so while they check, you're not going to have this one, but if there are questions, please interrupt us and ask those questions as necessary. All right, then it's time to introduce the parties. Will the parties please identify themselves first for the state?
Good
Good morning, board members. Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan, representing the state.
Okay, very well, thank you. And the respondent, Mr. Bean, if you can introduce yourself again, please. Okay, does your volume go any higher?
No.
Up front. Yeah, can it come any closer? Guess I could turn my hearing in, so.
I could come really close and maybe it'll just like go through your head.
No. All right. That's what I can do, Mr. President.
All right, thank you. That helps. All right. Mr. B, are you represented today by an attorney?
No.
No? All right, thank you. And are you ready to proceed?
Oh,
all right, thank you. All right, a couple questions for you. Do you understand that you have the right to be represented by an attorney? Okay, thank you. So the law does not provide for the appointment of counsel for you. So if you want to have an attorney, it would be your responsibility to retain and compensate one for one. Do you understand that? All right, thank you. And do you understand that by proceeding without representation of legal counsel, you're waiving your right to such representation at this hearing? Of course, you may seek legal counsel in any subsequent proceedings, such as an appeal. Do you understand that? Can you still hear me, Ms. Kadidi? All right, let's make sure we're established here before we go on.
Manager Kabibi, this is Jack Hahn for Executive Director. Can you hear us okay?
Understand that counsel is not legally obligated to be provided by the state. So if you do want to have an attorney such as at a future proceeding, then it would be your responsibility to retain and compensate that attorney?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Do you understand that by proceeding without representation of legal counsel, you are waiving your right to such representation at this hearing? Of course, you may seek legal counsel in any subsequent proceedings, such as an appeal. Okay, do you understand also that this hearing is your opportunity to present testimony and evidence on your behalf?
Yes.
All right, thank you. You're doing good. Do you understand that should you appeal the board's decision, the record you make at this hearing today will be evidence considered in a court in determining whether the board's decision was proper? All right. And try to relax. This is my first time doing this via this type of technology, and there's somewhat of a delay for the audience. So just try to relax. We'll get through it together, all right? Oh, no, you're welcome. We'll get through it. All right, is the state ready to proceed?
Yes, for the President and the Board.
All right. A hearing of this nature differs from a court proceeding. The technical rules of evidence do not apply. Reliable hearsay evidence is admissible. The Board will entertain objections concerning irrelevant, repetitious, or otherwise inadmissible evidence. However, the Board is the sole judge of the weight given to the evidence received. In a disciplinary hearing, the state bears the burden of proof and shall go first and present its case. Then the respondent shall present their case. The burden of proof in an administrative hearing is the preponderance of evidence, which means sufficient evidence to establish that a fact is more likely true than not. After it hears all the evidence and the arguments of the parties, the board will deliberate and decide whether to dismiss the case or take appropriate disciplinary action. All right, and at this time we're going to be swearing in witnesses. So the state's witnesses will be raising their right hand, and Ms. Kabidi, if you would raise your right hand as well. So all persons who are called as witnesses in this matter, including the respondent, please give your name to the court reporter and be sworn before testimony. Ms. Kabidi, would you introduce yourself one more time? All right, thank you. And state's witnesses, can you introduce yourself, Phil?
Phil Smith, board investigator.
Okay, very well. All right, so hands raised. Phil, do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, I do.
All right, thank you very much. All right, before hearing the testimony from witnesses, are there any preliminary matters that the board should consider? Anything for Solicitor General? Okay, very well. And does the state wish to make an opening statement?
Yes, please. Board President, members of the board, thank you again. Good morning. Respondent is the holder of a valid manager certificate license here in the state, certificate here in the state of Arizona. This case is in front of you today because the respondent committed multiple actionable violations of law, including employing a caregiver who did not hold caregiver credentials and leaving that caregiver alone on at least two separate instances with three residents. There was also an issue in which an employee file could not be found for that same employee. And as well, there was also CPR and first aid documentation that was missing from another personnel file. The evidence this morning will show you that on about August 11, 2021, Department of Health Services performed an on-site compliance inspection and three complaint investigations. The results of the investigation showed that the respondent did not ensure a caregiver was on premises and accountable for the facility. Three residents were found in the care of an employee without a valid caregiver certificate or an employee file or evidence of first aid and CPR. On September 10, 2021, again, AZDHS conducted a complaint investigation. Three residents were again found with the same non-credentialed provider. On that day, the surveyor cited 9 deficiencies in 6 different areas. The board heard this matter in 2022, noticed the hearing on July 12, 2023, and here we are today. So with the assistance of Mr. Smith, the board's investigator, I'm going to present all this information to you, which will show a violation of ARS 36446.07B8 as it relates to R433407A, which requires that any manager know and comply with all federal and state laws as it relates to the regulation of assisted living facilities.
All right, very well.
At the conclusion of the evidentiary portion of this hearing, I'm going to refer you to the factual allegations and the complaint notice of hearing that was issued in this matter and urge you to adopt them as your findings of fact and the alleged violations as your conclusions of law as stated, and to take action as you deem fit.
Thank you. All right, thank you. All right, Ms. Kabidi, do you wish to make an opening statement? You would be able to offer your evidence and testimony for a little bit further on, but do you have an introductory statement that you wish to make at this time?
believe so.
Ms. Kabidi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, do you want to make an opening statement right now? You will have further opportunity to present your testimony and your defense. So go ahead if you want to make a statement. Yes.
On August 3rd, I was called, I had an family emergency, so I was called to Ethiopia, so I flew to Ethiopia on August 3rd. But before I left with that caregiver, I had my... But he was not there. We were going through a divorce, so I guess he was just trying to get back. She was found alone. I had no idea where he was. And like I said, I flew back to Ethiopia, which is over. And I didn't even know about the inspection until later on, when I found out that he wasn't even at the house.
Okay, we missed some pieces, but we're going to have more opportunity when you can lay out your evidence and defense. Do you think, are we getting more delay because it's internet-based, but we went just directly through your cell phone and didn't have the visual? I don't want to miss anything.
Mr. President, members of the board, we can, the invitation also included a telephone call-in number and PIN. If the respondent chooses to try to connect that way, it's up to her. But I have no control over the lag or the connection. This is the best I can do given the circumstances.
All right. Ms. Kabidi, to ensure that we don't miss any of your evidence, your testimony, your defense, would you be willing to vacate the video conference and call in through our relay so that we could all hear you and have a more consistent signal so we don't miss anything?
In addition, Mr. President, she turned off her camera, which she's already done.
No, I'm sorry. I think it's from my connection.
All right. I'm concerned that this, we're going to miss something that could be essential. We want to make sure that this is fair and just. So.
Well, the respondent was invited to the meeting in person. However, it's chosen to try to attend virtually. This is her option.
In person because I'm still... I actually couldn't join in person because I'm still out of the country. I'm still in Ethiopia right now. That's why I couldn't join in person.
All right, so is your best connection via the internet versus via your cell phone calling into the phone number here?
The internet is better.
Yeah. All right, I understand.
I'm finding it very, very difficult for me to hear her testimony in this kind of setting, and I'm very concerned that as a result, I'm going to have a hard time trying to give it due weight. Is there any way around that at this point? Because I guess I'm always used to having people here versus this kind of action, and I think we did as well as we could with the technology we have, but the technology isn't supportive to me anyway of trying to give her a fair hearing. And I don't know how others feel about that, but
Mr. President,
that.
Board Member Stephen, unfortunately, I understand what you're saying, but this is what we have, and these are the resources we have given to us to try to move forward. So if the consensus of the board is that you do not want to hold this hearing due to these kinds of issues, then you should move in that direction. Otherwise, we have to persevere and try to get this hearing done that's been pending since 2021.
So we do have that option to, as a board, to make a motion if we choose to vacate this hearing at this time with technology that's available.
Absolutely.
That's not advice. That's request from the state.
Yes.
Postpone, not vacate.
But I want the board to realize that we have case metrics that we should be maintaining. This case is from 2021. We need to get a final disposition on it. Postponing is not going to help us regulate the industry, protect the public. While the respondent is overseas, we still have to move forward with the case. Postponing is not going to get us to that end. And it's been postponed several times, and the reason is because she is out of country and is choosing not to appear in front of this board.
Ms. Cavini, when do you anticipate returning to Arizona?
I can't say exactly because I have a son here and I'm waiting for the U.S. Embassy to give me his U.S. passport because I can't leave him. He's only 8 months old.
All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to try to proceed with this hearing. And if at any point we lose connection, then we would have to be forced into a postponement. But we're going to try to do our best here. Right? The state, the solicitor general, are you okay with this?
Yes, sir. And you may want to ask her, her connection may be better if she shuts her camera off, if everyone's okay with that.
Right.
And ask her if she can speak very loudly.
Okay, Ms. Cavini, theory is if you shut your camera off, could it potentially improve your signal? And could you also speak more loudly so that all the members in the room can hear you?
Okay.
All right.
Is this better now?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, your voice is projecting much better. All right, thank you. So let's go ahead and get going again. All right, so she's made her opening statement. And now we move on back to the state. So the state, please call your first witness.
Yes, thank you, board. The state calls Investigator Phil Smith. Right. Mr. Smith, what is your current position with the board?
I am assisting as the board's investigator.
And how long have you been an investigator for board purposes?
Approximately 19 years.
As a board investigator, what are your duties and responsibilities?
To initiate complaint investigations, conduct those investigations, bring in evidence to support those investigations and present the cases in front of the board. I'll also testify in hearings such as this and assist with the consent.
Okay, thank you. So originally this was not your investigation, is that correct?
That's correct.
But you have had the opportunity to review the file and adopt it as your own?
Yes, sir.
And if you had any questions, you could ask the previous investigator.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. And as part of your duties, are you also required to have an understanding of the board's unprofessional conduct statutes?
Yes.
All right, we're just going to walk through the exhibits here. And at the outset, the state would respectfully request that exhibits 1 through 5 be accepted into the record.
All right. Unless there's any objection, exhibits 1 through 5 are so admitted.
Thank you. Please take a moment to review what's been marked as state's exhibit 1. Do you recognize this document?
Yes, I do.
What is it?
It is a copy of the Department of Health Services, the Residential Facilities Report concerning Wide Horizon, located.
Thank you. And
excuse me, Mr. Moran, my apologies. Mr. President and members of the board, would you just touch base with the respondent and make sure that she is able to hear the testimony that's being presented by the state?
All right. Ms. Kibbe, are you able to hear our state's attorney presenting his case?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
If at any point you can't, please interrupt and let us know. And we'll all try to project it as well as we can so you can hear.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
As a preliminary matter, it appears that citation one is missing from the DHS record. Is that correct?
That is correct.
But as we go through this, the actual violations are, the information is contained in the other citations, correct?
It is, yes.
And it's also contained in the enforcement report in Exhibit 3, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So just walking through these, how many deficiencies were cited in total on September 10, 2021?
It appears there were 9 deficiencies in 6 different areas.
Okay, so on page 5, under survey text for citation 2, did employee 3 leave the residence by themselves on more than one occasion?
Yes.
Did the surveyor notice E3 was alone with the residents during the surveys on August 11th and September 10th?
Yes.
Same page survey text for citation 3. Does it state whether there was a document, there was documentation of E3 being a caregiver?
It was not.
Was there a personnel file for E3?
No.
Was there cardiopulmonary resuscitation training evidence or first aid training evidence?
There was not.
Was this matter taken to enforcement by AZDHS?
Yes, it was. On December 6th of 2020.
Please take a moment to review State's Exhibit 2. Do you recognize this document?
Yes.
What is it?
It's a copy of the DHS Enforcement Actions Report, dated December 6, 2021, and there were 2 separate enforcement actions that DHS had taken. The total civil money penalty imposed by DHS was $1,500 for 3 substantiated violations, and they were the deficiencies that we just discussed.
Mm-hmm. Is it a true and accurate copy of the Enforcement Actions Report, dated 12-6-2021?
It is.
All right, on page 14 and 15, what were the cited violations that were for enforcement?
On the first one, that was for a $500 civil money penalty. It was that the licensee agreed to pay the $500 because residents were left alone with an employee who was not a trained caregiver.
And was the plaintiff's corrections accepted?
I don't believe so. At least at the time when this case was generated, I don't believe the investigator at the time had the information from DHS as to whether or not the plaintiff had it. Okay.
And what was the second violation on page 15?
No, the second enforcement action took place on December 6, 2021 again, and the civil money penalty was $1,000, and the deficiencies were 1 employee CPR and first aid training were expired, and 1 employee did not have a personnel record.
And is base page 16 a duplicate of base page 15?
It is.
Thank you. Was the respondent properly noticed for the hearing today?
Yes.
Please take a moment to review State's Exhibit 3. Do you recognize this document?
Yes, I do.
And what is it?
This is a copy of the complaint. Notice of hearing for today's meeting, today's hearing, September 11, 2023, at 9:05 a.m., and it was forwarded to the respondent on July 12, 2023.
And is it a true and accurate copy of that July 12, 2023 complaint notice of hearing?
It is.
To your knowledge, has any of the certified regular mail come back as undeliverable?
Yes, I'll pull it up now.
Mr. President, members of the board, if you can give staff a moment to look up that, answer that question, I'd appreciate it.
It looks like it was delivered on July 19th, 2023 at 8:31 a.m.
Okay, so it did not come back as undeliverable?
I don't.
There are no returns certified mail receipts as undeliverable.
Okay. Thank you. And please take a moment to review State's Exhibit 4. Do you recognize this document?
Yes.
What is it?
It is a copy of the face sheet of the notice of the hearing for today, and it also includes the United States Postal Service tracking information.
And what date does it show that it was that it was picked up?
July 19th, 2023.
And that's how, and again, when was the complaint notice of hearing issued?
July 12th, 2023.
Thank you. This is a true and accurate copy of the USPS tracking sheet?
Yes, it is.
Please take a moment to review the state's Exhibit 5. And this will be used for very limited purposes. Do you recognize this document?
Yes, I do.
What is it?
It is a copy of an email from you to Ms. Cabidi on July 19th, 2023, reference this hearing.
And does it show that the respondent had notice of the hearing?
Yes.
And what's the date this email was received?
It's July 19th, 2023.
Okay, thank you. State rest.
Thank you.
All right, Ms. Cabidi, can you still hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right, this is your opportunity to ask questions of our witness. Do you have any questions for him at this time?
No, I don't.
All right, thank you. Let the record reflect that Ms. Cabidi says she does not have any questions of the witness at this time. Is there any redirect by the state?
Closing statement.
Just redirect.
Redirect. No.
Okay. All right. Questions from the board. So, Ms. Cabidi, to refer back to your opening statement to make sure I understand, what is your defense for why these deficiencies happened?
Like I said earlier, I had a sudden family emergency, and I was called back to Ethiopia on August 3rd. But when I left, before I left, my husband, right now my ex-husband, was there who had proper documentation. And but once I left, since we were separating and going through a divorce, I have no idea all the deficiencies were there. I have no idea he actually left the house. And after that, I had to close the business. My house was foreclosed. Everything was messed up. And I wasn't even getting mail at all. I just got this year mail once I transferred my mail to my parents' house. So I had no idea all this was going on at all.
Okay, was your ex-husband a certified manager or a certified caregiver?
Yes, he was a certified caregiver.
All right, and tell me again, what date did you leave the country?
August 3rd.
All right, and the survey was on 9/10. Is that correct?
August 11th and 9/10.
Okay. All right, I have no further questions. Other questions from the board?
Mr. B, you said that you're out of the country still and you had to close the house. You lost the house, is that correct?
Yes, yes. He couldn't find the sale contract, so the house was foreclosed on.
Okay. And that means all of those residents are someplace safe and sound. And
yes, ma'am.
At this point, why is it that you did not sign the original consent agreement to voluntarily surrender your manager certificate. You're out of the country. There's not a house to manage. Why didn't you sign it?
Two reasons. First, I didn't know that the divorce was going to take this long. I just finalized my divorce on February 28th of this year. So my plan was to just come back right away and try to buy another house and open up another facility or even work for somebody else. But things didn't go out of plan. The divorce took over a year. And then I had my son here because I was pregnant.
And I couldn't leave my son. The U.S. Embassy stayed locked.
The
U.S. passport. So nothing
went as I planned, and I
didn't even
receive that consent. The consent agreement. So it, yes, my address was that house, and that house my ex-husband lived in, and eventually was foreclosed on.
Does the state have interjection? Okay. So, would it be your position now that you would sign voluntary surrender?
I've worked so hard for that manager license. I really don't want to surrender it. I would accept any other punishment.
Okay. I don't have another question.
Okay. What is your current mailing address? Did you update the board on your current address?
7340 West Ellis Street, Levine, Arizona, 85339.
Okay, for the state, cross-exam, you have questions? Seamus?
No, thank you.
Okay. All right, any other questions from the board? Ms. Cabidi, do you have any other evidence or anything you would wish to add at this point?
No, I don't. Last thing I do want to say is, I know this is all a personal problem, but I had no idea all this was going to go on. Like I said, I had an emergency, and then my ex-husband did all this, and everything was messed up.
So
all I want for the board is to understand my personal problem and punish me in any other way that they can win
the management.
All right, thank you.
Anything
I have left. And once I come back, I do
want to
work.
All right. All right. Do you have any other witnesses on your behalf today?
I do not.
All right, thank you.
When you left the country in your emergency situation, did you appoint another manager to be in charge?
Like I said, my husband was certified, so I assumed he was there.
He was a certified caregiver, but not a manager.
Correct.
And how long did you anticipate being out of the country?
Originally, I left for only
15
days, and my plan was to come right back.
And when that didn't happen, did you work to employ a manager at that time?
I tried, but since I was going through the divorce, everything was really messed up. I couldn't get a hold of him, so I couldn't do anything yet. I notified the case managers of the patients so that they can be taken away and put in a safe place. And I was working on closing the house.
Thank you.
Okay, I have a question. When did she receive her original certification? All right, Mr. Committee, do you have anything else to say, or do you rest your case at this time?
Yes, I rest my case.
All right, thank you. This concludes the evidentiary portion of the administrative hearing. The board will now hear closing arguments. The state may present a closing argument first.
Yes, thank you, Board President, members of the board. I'll keep this short and sweet. As I mentioned in my opening statement, the facts in this case are not in dispute. The residents, while the respondent was the manager of record, were left with a caregiver who did not have the training or expertise or the credentials to be a caregiver. There was also no employee file and no evidence of first aid and CPR, which DHS determined put the residents at risk. That being said, based on the evidence presented, the state respectfully requests that you adopt the factual allegations and potential violations as your findings of fact and conclusions of law as stated, and take action today as you find appropriate. The state does not have a recommendation.
All right, thank you. Ms. Kabidi, do you have anything additional to say as a closing argument? All right, thank you. And for the state, any brief rebuttal?
No, thank
you. Okay. Having heard the testimony and reviewed the evidence and arguments of the parties, the board will now discuss the case. The board can begin with general discussion or entertain motions. The first item for discussion is the findings of fact. The complaint makes parties and jurisdiction at paragraphs 1 to 3 and factual allegations at paragraphs 1 to 2. The board will now discuss whether the state has proven these allegations. Is there a motion to adopt all parties of jurisdiction, factual allegations, and in the complaint as findings of fact?
So moved.
Susan moved. Second. And Becky second. Discussion. Hearing none, we'll take it to a roll call vote.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, very well, thank you. Is there a motion to adopt the second item for discussion is the conclusions of law. The complaint makes conclusions of law, paragraphs 1 to 2. The board will now discuss whether the findings of fact which we have adopted constitute a violation or violations of our statutes or rules. Is there a motion to adopt all of the alleged violations set forth in the complaint as the board's conclusions of law? And I will make that motion. I move that the board finds that the findings of fact constitute a violation of the statutes and rules set forth in the complaint, and the board adopt those alleged violations as the conclusions of law.
Second.
So Ken. Susan.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Cook.
Aye.
Member Felix.
Aye.
Member Coford.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, very well. Thank you. Motion carries. The final issue for discussion is the board's order. The board may consider the following actions pursuant to ARS 36-446.07. So we may can dismiss the case. The opinion of the board, the information is without merit. Issue a letter of concern. Issue a letter of decree of censure. Issue a decree of censure. Order of probation with specific terms and conditions. Impose a civil monetary penalty in an amount not more than $500 per violation, suspension, or revocation. Discussion?
I have a lot of empathy understanding that caregivers, various people can sabotage. The circumstances for her 100% have been dire. However, there is an obligation on her part to protect the residents, and get another manager appointed, even out of country, that is possible. Notify the board, notify DHS that whatever is happening is something that needs a remedy. I 100% appreciate that she took it upon herself to call the case managers and have some of those folks moved, and I don't know if that represented the entire house. And I appreciate that she wants to come back and work in this field and do this. It seems to me that she still has a lot going on, and that would not be a plausible scenario for her at this point. So, at the very minimum, redo the class. However, she's newly certified. So I don't know what she would gain in that.
I thought of that as well. If she's her returning to the U.S. is going to be dependent on the consulate or whatever. So we don't have a defined time frame of when she would be returning. So how about if she would do a voluntary surrender? Then I was thinking course and exam again because she's been gone for some time. So I think at this point we're back at a point of kind of first starting over. So a voluntary surrender, I think, would be appropriate versus the revocations or any different implications from the state side.
You sure? Mr. President, members of the board, I don't know which way you're heading with this. When the board reviewed this originally, we offered a consent agreement for surrender of license. Danita, did she renew this year? She did renew? Okay. I was just curious what the status of the certificate was. The other option the board could contemplate is if they chose, they could issue the revocation. They could stay the revocation with a probation for whatever period of time, 2 years, something that is, she comes back and starts work, and then the terms of that probation kick in. The revocation is staying as long as she does these things. If you think that it's education related, you could put in continuing education. If you think it's more practice related, maybe quarterly updates if she gets a place up and running again. There are hooks that you can manage the situation as, but that revocation is only saved if she complies with the probationary terms when she comes back and starts working. I would also ask the board to consider recouping investigative costs and or a civil penalty that would replace those investigative costs if we can't order them. Just a suggestion to the board, and Diane may have some thoughts on that as well.
In a formal hearing, do we only have opportunity for a civil monetary penalty, or can we also recover investigative costs?
That would only be in a consent agreement, I believe, Mr. President, for the board.
Okay.
So,
do we have an amount for investigative costs?
I think Al had it 601. I think it was 601.
And the civil penalty is capped at 500.
Per.
Well, that was the investigative.
Per violation. So, per violation. And so we're prohibited from doing both parts, or?
That would be a question for your solicitor general.
And correct me if I'm wrong on your statutes, though, as far as your discipline, it's that the civil penalty is not to exceed $500 for any violation of this article, but investigative costs
are normally in a term of probation, and it's normally done with a consent agreement. We don't necessarily have the statutory authority to order it as a term
as
of probation.
Yeah. Correct.
All right, so we're going to formulate a motion for revocation, the state of revocation, for a specified period of time, retake the course and exam, and reimburse and then the investigative cost of $601. Ms. Cabini, do you have any idea of when you might be returning to the country?
Within this 6 months to a year maximum.
Okay. So we can the term, we could say, for 1 year.
It wonders, is it appropriate for the state? I know I said I didn't have a recommendation, but, you know, you could just stay the whole order. You know, the state would not have an issue with you staying the whole order until she comes back. That way, you make your terms, whatever you think she needs to do when she gets back, just stay the whole thing. When she gets back, as soon as she comes back, she has to start back.
Okay.
And the notion right now, though, if we're doing that, means that she's currently holding a valid certificate.
It's suspended until she gets back and then complies with the
certificate. No. That's what I'm trying to ascertain.
The state is not concerned with Ms. Kabedi practicing in Ethiopia.
So the state is not concerned with that active piece of paper being hung on somebody else's phone, her getting paid no matter where she is, and falling prey to what we see all the time, which is somebody putting their certificate on a wall and not doing the job.
I would just say
nothing
we don't have evidence of that right now.
But if we do the revocation, the state of revocation, she can't do anything with that certification until she complies with other elements of the agreement.
Not legally.
Right.
Correct. But that's what we can do. You know, if we suspect otherwise that she is practicing, then the Department of Health Services would have more enforcement authority in the facility operation.
Yes. And a can of worms that this agency has never gotten into, which we should probably have a discussion of, is outside of this proceeding, is the virtual aspect of managing and assisted living. Mm-hmm. But that's why I use the term legally. Okay. So,
what if we also asked her to send you an email every month when she, if she's still in Ethiopia, she's still in Ethiopia until she returns? We need to know when the beginning's going to be.
That's good.
So we have a start point of accountability to safeguard the safety of our clients that we serve.
And that is visible in terms of conditions that she would have in the within a certain period of time. It's only going to be state revocation for 2 months or whatever it may be, and she needs to communicate with the board on a monthly basis. For instance, that she's still in Ethiopia, that board that she hasn't rejected a paper of return, those kind of things.
What is the exclusion period on the revocation? How long before the
year? 1 year.
I think
2023.
On a straight revocation,
she couldn't reapply until 1 year after
the
effective date of that revocation.
And so within 1 year, and Mr. Eugene already stated she's looking at 6 months to a year to even get back. To certainly work as a caregiver when she gets back to earn income. I understand paychecks, week to week, day to day. Earning the ability to earn. But if she's already looking at 6 months to a year, I have concern of a stayed revocation with that certificate being alive and active.
And Mr. President, members of the board, on that same road, if you're going to go that route of simply a revocation now where she could reapply in 1 year, all of this evidence of everything that the staff has would be part of the consideration when she reapplied for her to come back and get her license. So for instance, this would all come back to you for consideration that it was, you know, an abusive relationship, that she moved away, that she was trying to get her son's immigration papers, all of those types of things for you to consider when she reapplied post-revocation. If that's a cleaner route for you to go to, instead of doing a state revocation with terms and conditions.
All right, Ms. Kabedi, have you been able to hear all of our deliberations so far?
Yes, I can hear.
All right. You understand what we're discussing at this point is, you know, Vice President mentioned that, you know, she does understand that there are some extenuating circumstances here, and this wasn't your intention to leave this way. And so the goal is that you're not going to be allowed to practice as a certified manager in this country until you return and complete certain terms and conditions and pay a reimbursement of investigative costs of a considerable amount of money, or the board could go for directly revoking your license. You would be excluded from reapplying for a period of 1 year, but at the end of that 1 year, you could reapply and would still have to take the manager's exam and pass the state test. Either way, with either direction of that, we would take the motion. And it may be that the simplest and most economical route for you would be to accept a revocation and then start over once you do return to the country. Are you amenable to that?
If possible, I would really take the first option.
And President Kidder, if I may, she only has say in this. It would only be her decision to voluntarily surrender her license. If the board chooses to vote and revokes her license, she doesn't have a decision. She has no say.
Do you wish to consider voluntary surrender of your certificate at this time?
I do not.
Okay.
You mentioned economics, so I want to make sure that's understood. If we go to revocation, we're not applying investigative cost reimbursement, nor are we applying civil penalties. We're just saying we're done for now. We'll do this again in a year.
Correct.
That's the standard.
Okay.
Right. Revocation, simple revocation would be probably the most efficient and most economic. We don't know when she's going to be back. So, all right. So,
any other?
All right. I make a motion for revocation.
I'll second.
Ken and Susan for revocation.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, very well.
President Mayor, also if I may, could you just make sure from the respondent how you have her correct mailing address so that she receives her revocation order with her appellate rights? Yeah,
okay. All right, in order to get your notice of revocation letter most expeditiously, what is your current address? Would you state that for the record?
7340 West Ellis Street, Levine, Arizona, 85339.
All right, very well. Thank you so much. This concludes the formal hearing. The board's decision will be reduced to a written order and served on the parties. The parties will have further appeal rights that will be explained in the board's order. This concludes this matter. Thank you for attending today. And Mr. Meade, thank you for your time and being with us today for this important time.
Can I ask if her manager's certificate is anywhere right now?
That's not part of this proceeding, but yes, you can ask. Can staff get back to you on that, please?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And I
don't know if she signed off. Thank you, Mr. Beatty.
Can I see your paper?
Mm-hmm. All right, let's take 5 minute break. So we've got everything out here.
I gotta destroy it.
Okay.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, very good. And then, Kara, if you'd step back for just a moment. Motion to dismiss item number 10, Dennis J. Chapone, replacement of 2023 NCI 0119.
Second.
And Susan.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right. Well, thank you.
Isn't the timeout supposed to be like 1 minute for every year? Okay. I don't want you to know that.
It's like 18 minutes.
Yeah. Okay, next, we go back to section B. This is the staff recommendation for the non-disciplinary letter of concern. First of all, those that were here present for section C, your cases have been dismissed. You're meant to leave if you'd like, or stay and observe as you wish. But you will, we're done, so your cases are disposed. All right, so we're going back to section B. We have 10 items. I have two individuals that I'm aware of here, Carol Mazza and Thomas Brooks. Are you here? Okay. All right, so where we are is that the board is prepared to vote on a non-disciplinary letter of concern. Do either of you wish to have this case pulled out and come before the board and speak to the board? All right, so hold on there, and then you would also? All right, so I will make a motion to accept staff recommendation for non-disciplinary letter of concern for items 1 through 4, 7 through 10.
Second.
Ken and Susan.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Cook.
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, very well. So those are disclosed. If you are here for those cases, they have now been disclosed. We are free to go. Okay, I want to move back up to staff recommendations for disciplinary consent agreement and or formal hearings. This time I want to I have to refuse an item number 2, so Susan's going to be taking this over, and she will do this case.
So is Jennifer Cota here?
This is page 93 of your materials.
Okay.
Go ahead, Bill.
Okay.
All set?
Thank you.
Okay, this is complaint 2023-NCI-0129. Licensee is Jennifer Cota, who was invited to today's meeting but is not present. On November 30th, 2022, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Dignity Care Homes, LLC, located in Yuma. The compliance inspection identified 15 deficiencies in 10 different areas. Ms. Cota was noticed of the complaint, and she did provide a written response. And on February 7, 2023, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $2,000 for two substantiated violations.
So everybody has the notes. We have.
Is Jennifer Cota here? Mm-hmm. Has it? Thank you.
We have the information that wasn't aware that the owner didn't tell her about her residents coming, and didn't probably go in to check records. And I believe in her report back, her answer to us stated that she wasn't typically present at the home for much more than once a week. And so probably not really paying attention other than having an owner that's not giving information. There's still a burden on the manager herself to oversee the function of the business. So we have a recommendation here from the investigation. Does anybody have any statements to add, any different consideration than what's here?
No, I mean, there was a simple penalty that was very high compared to others from the Department of Health Services. So I find that the citations by the Department of Health Services are very warranted, what they saw. Mm-hmm. And for her not to be here, for her timely manner, I'm concerned.
And so are you satisfied with the recommendations that are here?
I am. Okay, based upon the information contained in this investigation report, I move that the board find significant evidence of violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 44610, AACR 4-33-407A, and B1 for unprofessional conduct to complaint number 203-NCI-0129. Involving manager Jennifer Cota, and the board offers a consent agreement to be signed within 10 days, or the matter will be forwarded to a formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Probation of all terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of the investigation cost of the amount of $569.70. 3 hours of continuing education with the executive director's pre-approval required and documentation completed for each of the following areas. Medication management, service plans, emergency disaster preparation. Any cost of this probation of this is the licensee certification holder. Also, these certification hours that she has to redo are not part of her renewal of next license.
Okay, did we miss the suspension of the certificate that stayed the suspension?
I'm sorry.
As long as the terms of the consent agreement are met, which is probation for those terms.
I second that.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank
Thank you, guys. Okay, the next person I see that is here is Tara Wallace. Harrison. All right, let's go to Tara. That's tab number one, complaint 2023-NCI-0120.
Tab 57 of the materials.
Well, welcome. Good to have you here. Please introduce yourself for the record.
Tara Wallace.
All right. Bill, you have one of the cases.
Sure. This is complaint 2023-NCI-0120. Licensee is Tara Wallace, who's present here today. And on January 11, 2023, DHS conducted a assisted living facility complaint investigation at Valencia Care Homes located in Scottsdale. The complaint investigation identified 7 deficiencies, 5 different areas. One of the deficiencies was a repeat deficiency. Ms. Wallace was noticed of the complaint. She did provide a response. And on approximately February 23rd of 2023, DHS took enforcement action. Impose a civil money penalty of $1,250 for 2 substantiated violations. One of them was a repeat deficiency. And Ms. Wallace is here today to discuss the matter with the board.
All right, thank you, Tara. All right, so you started at the facility on November 30th?
Yes.
And inspection was January 11th? All right, you had about a month in the facility.
Correct.
What did you do when you hit the floor?
So upon my first visit to the home, I met with the management company the homes. They did inform me that since I've hung my license, during that time, the person who was managing the house had left, and they noticed when they came in that they were missing employee files, that there was incorrect documentation in some files, and that they were working on it, getting it all put back together. That was my first visit with the house. So I really didn't have anything to go through at the time with them as far as employee files or resident charts. Unfortunately for me, a week or two later is when our surveyor came in January to the home and found all those things. The repeat one, I wasn't the licensee at the time. But like I said, upon my first visit is when I was told that manager was not even there. She had left, and they found all these incorrect things in the charts and employee files. After that, surveyor came in like 2 weeks later for the January visit. I wasn't aware that the surveyor was in the building when they came in. Otherwise, I would have fulfilled my duties as a licensee to at least been present. I know that wouldn't have changed the outcome, but I could have at least been there for my responsibilities. I was made aware when the letter was sent to me.
You were not made aware that the surveyors were there at all?
Not when they came. No, I didn't find out about the survey for the complaint until I got the letter from state.
All right, tell me a little bit about this management company. What services are they providing for the home itself?
I'm the grandfather.
Hold on.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't know if I can speak to this.
Hold on. Maybe first we can get an introduction,
okay,
and then the chair president can determine whether or not they want to hear from me. Is that okay?
Perfect.
Great.
So, thanks. What is your name?
My name is Annalisa Lajeunesse, and I'm the director of operations for AB Senior Living, and we own 10 properties, and one of which is the Valencia home when all this happened.
Okay, please come forward, sit next to her.
Thank you.
All right, did you get your name? Can you state your name again, please, for the record?
Annalisa Lajeunesse.
You're director of operations for the management company overseeing the operations of this home.
Yeah, we actually own the home. So when Tara put her license on, the current director of operation was being terminated about mid-December. So that's when I came and I stepped in. Michelle, who is our surveyor on that home, knows that home very well and all the deficiencies over the years. And so it was one of those things that as I'm being introduced to Tara, we're in the middle of fixing everything. There are a lot of things that the prior director of operations did incorrectly on our homes that we have been fixing. So to kind of fast forward, that we were kind of like a complaint came in very soon after I came on. She put her license on. We have a whole compliance team now. We have 2 compliance officers within our organization. and we just got our annual survey on that particular home, and there were only two citations, and one was that we didn't have a lid on the laundry basket, and the other one was that the DHS was not aware of the new manager that was on the home, but we had proof that it was already sent up to DHS back in, she took over in April. So.
All right, so how does one, somebody new is hired, who's responsible to complete the personal records?
That was the manager. Like I said, there was a huge dysfunction within the organization when I came and I took over. We actually found out that the director of operations actually took all the employee files out of all of our homes, and she housed them away from the homes. So, there are a lot of issues in those homes.
Were the files away from the home?
Correct.
The time of the inspection? Okay.
And Michelle was very well aware of the disruption, our surveyor.
Okay. So, Tara, when did you become aware of the personnel files not being in a location? Was it prior to the inspection?
Prior to the inspection? I was just told when I met with them that there were a lot of things that they needed to work on, files, and so forth. And then I said the inspection came to about a week and a half later.
All right, so were you given specifics of things that needed to be worked on?
I wasn't given specifics. So they just said that basically what she just told you now, there was a lot of things that the previous person had not done correctly or had with them that they were working on them for me.
All right, so now when a new hire comes along, you're responsible to pull all the paperwork together and make sure that they're compliant?
I have not been, but I have asked you as part of the plan of correction. Moving forward from that,
My license is forward. What are you doing today?
Her license is no longer. We actually have a manager that has a license on that house.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That manages it 40 hours a week, so.
All right, so as a manager, what is your procedure today, whatever home you may be working with respect to new hires?
I go in the homes actually now and check the files and make sure everything's there.
And what's your frequency of going into the homes and how long you spend there?
I'm usually there a couple times during the month, and I'm usually there about an hour, 2 hours more if I need to be.
Okay.
So let me just make sure I'm correct. You put on your license on this group home November 30th,
yes.
And it was all verbal, what was good to you.
Correct.
And you never did anything else until you heard that there was a...
I did go into the home, and like she said, about mid-December, we went into the home, and that's when I officially met the home at the management team, and that's when they informed me of the situation at the home.
But you hung your license on November 30th.
Yes.
But never, did an audit of the home or the citation.
Not until the mid-December when we got together, yes.
All right, having been through this experience, what would you do in the future if you hang your certificate in a new home?
Most definitely be more on top of everything that goes on in the home, make sure I'm aware of any new hires, any move-ins, make sure documentation is done, and go into the home more frequently for sure.
Would you ask detailed questions about
Absolutely. Things
that need to be
Absolutely, yep. I've sent emails and stuff moving forward to them about things that I would like to find in a new home. I'm actually more thorough when I go in and less pressing.
Are you still with the same management group?
I currently in a different home.
The question was, are you still with the same management group?
Yeah.
And so I think part of what may be a little perplexing is that did you notify this board that your certificate was going up on November 30th?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you notified the board, DHS was notified.
Mm-hmm.
And you stepped foot into this property mid-December.
Yes.
2 weeks.
Yes.
2 weeks.
Yes. Now, I will admit that was my mistake. It was my first time hanging a license, first time using my license. So that is on me, my bad, my mistake, for taking 2 weeks to get into the community and being able to meet up with the management team.
Was it a requirement that she meet the management team before?
So,
some due diligence in the property?
Yeah, so like I said, prior to me going and becoming a director of operations for MD Senior Living, there were a lot of operational issues occurring. So basically it was just bad timing of her meeting her with all of what was happening with MD Senior Living just in the background and then having a complaint and Michelle coming in. But once Michelle came in, she saw that I actually was, because she knows who I am and my reputation in the industry, she was like, oh my God, Annalisa, you are on these homes. I know everything is going to be fine. So, and then subsequently now, I mean, everything has just been just like flowing with our homes. So it was just bad timing with a transition, with a director of operations for 6 years that should not have been on our homes. It was a cluster.
Tanya?
Yeah, yeah, she's my there. And she's a tough cooking.
No, she is.
I don't understand. Let her explain to me that explanation. Are you saying because of the what's happening within this facility and in an organization, she's not responsible for being the manager there, or that contributed to her not taking care of what was
my No, I was just walking. Yeah, I was just walking into the situation. I was already there prior to. So with her coming on, me meeting her for the first time, and then us going, oh my gosh, there's a lot of issues in this home. That it, and then we just a complaint came in, and it was just. I mean, it just fell. It was just bad all around. So there wasn't even enough time to fix what there was in that home. Yeah, I mean, it was bad.
Were you a licensed manager? Are you a licensed
manager? I am a licensed manager, yes.
You are a licensed manager. But you didn't hang your license on that wall. She did.
Yeah, this was prior to me becoming a director of operations for MD Senior Living. So all this was already in play when I came on to oversee 13 group homes. And when that happened, like when all this was going on, I mean, everybody, I mean, you guys, I mean, you know me. I mean, it's like I run a very good group home. I mean, I've always been very on the up and up. So it was just walking into an organization that did not have any organizational structure to it, and our homes were getting hit left, right, and center.
100%. All of that makes sense. She's the one who's here.
Correct.
And it's a little frustrating that it's been expressed that there's distress within that organization, that house in particular, that you effectively get to own the problems, that you didn't step foot in there for 2 weeks.
I didn't know about that before I stepped in the home.
You hung your certificate.
Right.
Which makes you responsible.
I know, yes. Right at the end of November.
Mm-hmm.
And did not step into the home to check on residents. Even if everything was hunky-dory and wonderful, you didn't go verify that everything was wonderful.
Correct. And
there could have been all kinds of things happening with resident care.
Yes, I understand completely, absolutely. And I could have, or should have gone in sooner. I just was under the impression that I needed to wait till I could meet with the management team to go into the home. And so that's kind of what I was waiting for. But absolutely, as a licensed holder, I should have just gone in on my own and not.
And that's why I asked, was that a requirement from your management company that you wait to meet with them prior to having access to the home? Was that their requirement? I'm asking you.
Yeah, they have said that the first time in that home they would like to be there for us to go together to be in the home.
Was there a designated manager there in that 2 week period?
I was under the impression, yes, that there was. It was
Janice? Manager there that basically served as her surrogate?
Yes.
And who was that individual?
Keisha?
Keisha.
That was the designee, the manager designee?
Mm-hmm. At this time.
When I saw the list of employees, there were four. I don't see a Keisha. I see a Valerie, a Jasmine, Julia, and Edia.
Yeah, okay.
Keisha?
So Keisha was another one of our managers. Val was another one of our managers. And Jasmine was one of our other manager designees. So I believe at that time Jasmine was overseeing that particular property. Without getting into too much, Eric was all over the place when I took over. So like to really put everybody in their places as the manager designees. There were three of them. The main ones were like Val, Keisha, and Jasmine that were kind of like overseeing these properties when I acquired this position, or when I came into this position.
Okay.
but they are no longer with us.
Were you there on November 30th, or you
came
in after?
Yeah, I didn't become the director of operations until mid-December.
So you're testifying to things before you were even in the position.
I knew because I, in December, Levine acquired Chateau Arcadia, which I was the executive director of. So I had kind of already kind of knew some of the pieces that were happening prior to me coming in.
So your management company has at least seven certified managers currently.
I'm trying to see, because we have 10 homes. My license is on 2 of the homes. So,
are any on congruent properties? They're all separate.
They're all separate.
10 homes.
All right.
Ms. Wallace, when you stepped into the other place where you are now hanging your certificate, you took out this house. Yeah, are you hanging 2 places?
No.
Just one?
Mm-hmm.
Just one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What did you do when you moved your certificate to that location?
I went to the home right away. I went through all the employee files. I went through all the resident files. I took a tour of the home to make sure postings were set up. I went through resident rooms to make sure they had all safety things that they needed. A call system was all explained to me. Menus, make sure all that was hung. Snacks, all that important stuff was hung. And then all my findings of what was missing in those charts, I did send off so that we could work on those and got those all taken care of. Every time I go into the homes now, that's exactly what I do. I send Annalisa and the home manager my list of everything I find and what I would like need done or what needs to be done, and always offer my help to get it done.
Did you notify both NCIA and DHS of your change of location?
Mm-hmm.
Do you look at a survey prior year so you know not the same citation?
Yes.
That would be number one.
Yes.
I wouldn't take a job without seeing a survey.
Absolutely.
All right. Can I just ask one question?
Yes.
One more. Did you respond to this complaint, or did this response to this complaint come in from somebody else within your organization?
I do. That we like the plan of correction and the response was put together.
No, the response to the NCIA board. Who provided the response to the NCIA board?
Everything I got a copy of, I responded to with them.
With them.
Mm-hmm. But the documentation you get, I was at the house. I had to get it from the house. So the change was prior to me being there, I had to ask them for. But the response was mine. I typed it up and.
The reason I asked that question is there's a discrepancy between your verbal testimony and what we have in the investigative report. What I heard is you didn't see anything within this particular facility until about 2 weeks after your appointment. The investigative report says it's been about a month. So which is it? That you saw the results of this survey, you saw stuff within
the results of the survey? I didn't get until it was mailed to me in February.
So, 3 months.
Because it was done in January. It's done here. But I wasn't aware that they were in the building in January. I didn't even know anything about the state visit or survey visit until you guys mailed out that letter to me in February. Then I was aware of it, and then I contacted everybody saying, hey, I wasn't even aware that you had somebody in there visiting. I would have came down and been a part of it. That's part of my responsibilities. And so then after I got that letter, then we started working on.
When did DHS do its follow-up for compliance? So they didn't come into that facility for a follow-up for the minor corrections or anything?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Yeah, I think.
I
don't know.
All right, thank you.
Sure. Let me just see if I understand this. This is very complex, and I'm not one of your managers. You came in, you said, in mid-December.
To physically see the house, yes.
You didn't know there had been an inspection.
I knew they had their annual inspection.
But you didn't know there were any problems.
When I had spoke to the manager who hired me at the time or asked for my license, I went over the survey with them because there was stuff out on the survey, obviously. And she said it had all been taken care of. They spoke to the board, got some stuff dismissed. And I was like, okay, that's great. And then again, like I said, I was waiting for my first visit into the house with the management, trying to work out a time that we could get together and get into the house. Because I was told that the first visit to the house needed to be with the management team.
So you basically just kind of moved along to February when the survey came back. Can you say in February?
So I came into the house. We were able to have our appointment together mid-December when Annalisa came on. That's when she told me that the person who was managing that house had left. And when she left and Annalisa came in, she saw that things had been taken from the home and there was stuff missing in the charts. So that was mid-December. And then state came in January, I believe it was the first week of January, and did their inspection on a complaint.
So you were there?
I was not there because I was not even aware that they were there, or I would have been there. I know it wouldn't have changed the outcome of it, but I still would have been there because that's my responsibility. I was not made aware that a survey was in that house until I got the letter in February.
3 days.
So then I was made aware that they had been in there. So then I reached out to the management team and said, hey, why was I not made aware that there was state in the house? I would have been there. I would have liked to know it as a licensee holder.
So the designated manager didn't tell you.
Your office director
didn't tell you. Your staff didn't tell you. And you were floating around for a month until you finally figured out they were in your building in January where you were sitting?
Yes. I mean, I had been there, but I didn't know that state had been in there during that time. I was not made aware at all.
Nobody told you?
No. Like I said, it was a shock to me when I got the letter, and I was a little upset because I had just been at the house a couple times, and I was not made aware that anybody had been there on a complaint or a survey or anything until I got that letter.
Is that because you weren't actually physically there?
I did go to the home. I went the one time in December, and then for the holidays, I didn't go back again. I went back like a couple times in January, yes. A
couple times being what? Once or twice? Two times? Three times?
I'm guessing like three times.
You think that'll be enough time?
No, I do not now. That's under the circumstance, yes. Absolutely.
So do you understand? The board's concern is this gap of time from the time that you pay your license. You become responsible for everything.
Correct. Absolutely.
All aspects of the home.
Absolutely.
And we're not hearing that you devoted much of any time up until December to really get things going. It's like, you know, that if it was me, and like Beck said, you know, if I'm going to put my license on home, I'm going to hit the floor running.
Absolutely.
And regardless of what the management team says about when you can come in or can't come in, you're the manager.
Yes.
So you have to make that determination.
Absolutely,
and go in. What this board, I think, wants to hear is, this is ever going to happen again?
No, absolutely not.
All right. I make a motion for the concern. All right. So, good.
Can you specify what the concern is for the
manager failed to adequately maintain personal records or written determination from a medical practitioner for one of us.
Thank you.
My only concern about that is that this certification of an individual has only been, she's very new in the industry.
I'm sorry, can I say something?
Hang on a second. Okay. Let's decide if we get a second to the motion on the floor first, please.
Did you finish the motion, or
yes.
Are we doing discussion?
No, he made the motion, but before discussion happens, we should decide if there's a second on the floor or not.
So my motion is, I move that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation in complaint number 2023-NCI-0120, but issue a letter of concern. The board's concern is the manager failed to adequately maintain personnel records or written determination from a medical practitioner or one resident. Is there a second? If there's no second, the motion dies. Entertain the motion. We have a board recommendation. Are board members comfortable with the board's recommendation?
I second.
Okay. Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 44610, R4 33407A and B1 for our professional conduct and complaint number 2023, NCI 0120 involving manager Tara Wallace. Does the board offer a consent agreement to be signed within 10 days when the matter will be forwarded to the formal hearing? The consent
consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of the certificate, but stay the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation with all terms to be met, or terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $601.33. 3 hours of continuing education with the executive director's pre-approval required and documented completion in each of the following areas. Service plans, personnel requirements, and ethics. Any costs of the probation are those of the certificate holder.
President Kidder?
Who seconded? Do we have a second?
I thought Becky.
Second.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Cook? Member Cook? Absent. Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
So the board, what the board did is they voted to offer you a consent agreement for resolution of what they see as allegations. Staff will send that to you in the next 5 to 10 days. And then you decide whether or not you want to sign that and move on. So thank you very much for being here today. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you being here. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, next we move on is Nicholas Verdica here. Okay, not here. William Rosner. Okay, let's move on to Sylvia Bolshein. Come on up. This is complaint 2023 NCI 0139 and 182.
182.
All right, welcome. Please introduce yourself for the record.
This is Sylvia
Walshine.
Okay, well, thanks for being here.
All right, Phil, what are you? Okay, I'll break them both down. I'll do the first one first. It's 2023-NCI-0139. Licensee is Sylvia Walshine, who's present here today. And on January 19, 2023, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Brookdale Union Hills located in Peoria. Compliance inspection identified 6 deficiencies in 6 different areas. 4 of those deficiencies were repeat deficiencies. Ms. Molshan was noticed of the complaint. She did provide a written response. And on approximately February 28, 2023, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,750. 4 substantiated repeat violations. And on February 19, 2023, this will be complaint 2023-NCI-0140. DHS also conducted an assisted living facility complaint investigation at Brookdale Union Hills located in Peoria. The complaint investigation identified 4 deficiencies in the area of medication services. 1 of those deficiencies was a repeat deficiency. Ms. Molshine was noticed of that complaint, and she did provide a written response. On approximately February 28, 2023, DHS took enforcement action, imposed a civil money penalty of $250 for 1 substantiated repeat violation. In the past, these cases would have been incorporated as 1 investigation, but she was noticed on 2 different cases, so that's why we have 2 different ones.
The board decided to make a motion to have it combined the 2 matters.
Okay, yeah. I'll make a motion to combine both complaints 139 and 140.
Second.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Cook? Absent. Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
And Mr. President, I know that Board Member Campbell had an obligation with excuse from the rest of the meeting at 11, so I don't know if she has more time to finish this case. She needs to remove. Just an FYI.
All right, so Jeffrey, are you still on the line?
I'm still on the line for the next 10 minutes, and then I will have to drop off. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay, Wally. Thank you. I'm just trying to see it.
You're welcome.
I think we lost Jeff.
Oh, okay.
I haven't gotten a message.
Okay. I'm still here.
Oh, good. Awesome. Thank you. Okay.
Present the next case.
Yeah,
I did.
Oh, you did.
Yeah.
All right. How long have you been the manager
here? I'm no longer at Union Hills. I was there for I want to say 15 months. I'm still with Brookdale. I'm just with another community. I left Union Hills in March 5th, and went to Brookdale.
When did you start there?
I started there October of 2022 at Union Hills.
So you were the manager at the previous survey?
Oh, I was, yes, ma'am.
So that would beg the question, how were repeats?
When did you start there?
I started at Brookdale Union Hills in October of 2022.
2022?
Yes.
So some of these repeats are from January 27th to 22.
Oh, yeah.
So those were prior to you?
They were.
Mm-hmm. February 21, February 4, 21, February, January 27, 22.
Mm-hmm. So tell me what you normally do when you arrive at a building. What do you look at first? What do you ask for second? How do you take control of the building so that safety is given to the residents you're responsible for?
Yes, sir. Usually going into a new community, the first thing I do is a full audit of charge, because that's what makes the most sense, is we have to know. The circumstances were a little bit different when I first got to Union Hills. There was a lot of chaos, for lack of a better word. There was a lot of agency in the building at that time. The culture had kind of imploded. So a lot of my focus was on staff issues, care issues that were physical and noticeable that needed to take care of, and policies needed to be put into place. So at that time, I did not do an audit of the files like I should have in 2022. So when we got our survey in January, those issues were addressed immediately. So the health and wellness director that was in place when I walked through the door was not the same one in January when we had our survey. So I had a new HWD, and we went through, we met at 5 a.m. every day for a week, and we went through every single chart. We listed everything that needed to be taken care of. I am not clinical and don't always know what I'm looking at. That's my reality. So I depend on those that are smarter than I am in those areas. So we did the audit. We have a full chart of everything that needed to be done. We knew. And follow-up, I absolutely followed up. Where are we at with this? She showing me documentation. This is done. Well, not all of it was done. She left, I want to say, in July, and I got yet another health and wellness director. This one was a seasoned licensed manager who wanted to be a health and wellness director. And so her and I, again, you know, I told her, let's do this audit, and she says, I've got you. I know exactly what I'm looking for. I'm an executive director as well, plus I'm a health and wellness director. And I trusted, and I didn't verify.
How long have you been with a Brookdale facility?
I'm a boomerang. I left Brookdale, and I came back. I came back to Brookdale in September of 2021.
And how many buildings do they have in the greater Phoenix area?
Oh, gosh. I don't know the exact number. I believe it's
a whole bunch?
A whole bunch, yes. Yes, sir. Yes.
Do they have an executive, do they have an operations manager that kind of oversees a lot of them?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So do they have an approach when they drop a new manager in that they talk to the new manager and they say, guess what? You're the new manager. Here's what we want you to do because this is a problem.
Yes and no.
Or they just drop you in.
Yes, pretty.
And say good luck.
Yes and no. I was told more of the cultural issues. The our clinical district director had known the then health and wellness director for many, many years, and told me that I didn't need to be concerned about charts or anything like that. She knew her to be uptight and ready to go. So I had no reason to believe they weren't okay.
So you weren't told, oh, by the way, we have four repeat deficiencies, or we have four deficiencies, and if you get caught with these, you better get control of them?
No, and I didn't look. I didn't look. No, sir.
Wonderful. What's the size of this facility?
It's a capacity of 54 residents.
And census then was what?
The census then, in 2022 when I got there, was about 80% or so. I don't remember the exact figure.
About 80%.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Did your onboarding include orientation and skills and knowledge verification?
Not when I got to that community, no, because I transferred from Brookdale Tempe. Because I was a boomerang, I didn't get new onboarding. My original onboarding from 2016 was.
So your file went with you?
Yes.
And their policy and procedures are the same across the board?
Some have changed, and I'm learning that as I come up against things and learn that things have changed a little bit in the couple of years that I've been back.
And so when you hire somebody at whatever location you're at presently, what do you do with them?
So they go through the full onboarding. So when someone comes in brand new to Brookdale, they get what's called associate foundations, and all of those courses drop immediately into the system, and we help them through that through the computer courses. So they get all of the policies and procedures of the company, and then we do, like in the standalone memory care, we do a hands-on in-person in-service related to dementia care.
So the rest are little modules that they clock in and watch and then just sign up, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. They don't do that for you? They didn't?
No, ma'am.
Okay. And do you have any authority over what goes on with the policy and procedures? Because quality management and that system seems to have been broken down and not functioning properly. So how was that corrected?
So when I first got there in 2022, there wasn't a quality management program at all. And so I was still doing what I did prior, which was, doing the grievance logs, but that wasn't acceptable. So then in 2023, when they came back, I had the trends and all of those things, and I thought I was looking pretty good. And she looked at me and said, where's your plans of action and stuff? And I wasn't complete in my quality management. Since then though, I have learned through having to speak to what I haven't done. Since then though, I have developed my own quality management program in my community that follows along with the policies and the regulations that need to be followed.
And so you trend, and often are you doing a review?
Monthly.
You're doing a monthly
review? Every month. When we do our CCR, we also do our quality management, and then I update. So when I get news of an incident or a fall, and I document those. I put them in a little slot in my binder so that we can go over those and talk about those to see what we've done about them. Just trying to get ahead of things.
Are there other components of that volunteer?
There's a lot of components. You know, through we do our CARES program, which is contact with residents and family members on a regular basis. We do monthly calls, and it's a mandated program. We call all of our residents, family members, monthly to see if there's anything that we can do to serve them better. And then, of course, our trends through our fall system, our point-click care system that that we chart and do alert charting and things like that. And then any incidents that come through with residents that they have with their care and things like that. So all of that gets documented, and then of the action, what are we going to do? And then when we follow back up, has this been resolved? Are we still working on this? And what do we do? We need to do to make it better.
And so, in addition, have you added yourself to the Tickler 5 so you don't?
Oh my God, yes. Oh yes.
All right, I think what we see here is that she got in the building and she started trying to take action right away. Things got missed, but I think she understands. I'm not sure that additional education is going to help her at all. It's a matter of cleaning up a building.
I appreciate that the first thing she did was looking at resident care and making sure that they were okay. And I think staffing at that time had to be just hellacious. I mean, my heart goes out to all of you that have to do hands-on every day. But, you know, just the second part, which kind of surprises me, like the resident agreement, looking through this. I mean, you would just think that that would just be standardized within the company itself and that's signed. I mean, that's so important for you that work in the industry, that this is signed before the mission even happens.
Another question. So in January of 2023, you were still the manager of Union Hills.
Yes.
And in looking at the material of that inspection, I see you had four deficiencies in the area of medication services, and one was a deficiency, another repeat. Back when you first arrived.
Yes, sir.
And you said the first time you got dropped in there.
Yes, sir.
You just had too many things going to kind of get it all done.
Correct.
But a year later, mm-hmm. you still had a repeat deficiency from back then.
I did.
Tell me about your quality assurance program and how you track deficiencies that have been cited and build it into your quality program.
So now I keep a folder with all of my deficiencies that I've gotten, and I go over there monthly now with my department heads. Wherever those deficiencies were, we go over them and I check to make sure those are taken care of. The medication errors, I was trusting. I had four nurses turn over since I got there, and everyone fixed the issues. And so now I take a more on hands of I'm more on in hands. I don't know if I'm making any sense.
Yes,
I'm so sorry. Thank you. With that, even if I don't understand what I'm looking at, I ask the question, what am I looking at and what does that mean to us? And that's how I've ensured that those mistakes won't happen again, even if I am not fully educated in the area that it's in. It's just asking the question and asking what it means instead of just trusting that somebody else is taking care of it just because they have a license to take care of it.
Was any resident
harmed?
No, ma'am.
All right, let's make a motion that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation and dismiss complaint number. Okay. 2023 NCI 0139 and 2023 NCI 140.
President Kidder? Okay. President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
No.
Member Cook? Member Cook? Absent. Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Here. Sorry. My thing got stuck. I couldn't get it to come off mute. But yes, I'm prepared. Yes.
Okay. Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right. Very well. Thank you for your time today. Appreciate your testimony.
You won't see me back. So it was good to see you.
Well, come visit anytime.
Come
get certified hours.
You know what? I'm going to bring my health and wellness director to get certified hours. I think that they should all see how these things work. So I appreciate you. Thank you.
All right. I'll take another quick 5 minute break. Okay. Back to question. Move on to tab number 9. Is about D'Angelo, complaint number 2023, NCI 169. And welcome. For the record, if you could introduce yourself, please.
Isabel D'Angelo.
All right. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Oh, when you're ready.
So this is complaint 2023-NCI-0169. Licensee is Isabel D'Angelo, who's present here today. And on July 22, 2023, DHS conducted an assisted living facility complaint investigation at Angels Paradise Care Home 2, located in Phoenix. Complaint investigation identified 9 deficiencies in 7 different areas. Ms. D'Angelo was notified of the complaint, and she did provide her written response. On approximately March 14th of 2023, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $500 for 2 substantiated violations, and Ms. D'Angelo is here today to discuss the complaint investigation with the board.
Page 454 of the materials.
All right. And how long have you been the manager at this home?
I started January of 2020.
And how large is this home? What's the capacity?
5.
All right, so tell us what happened. Were you there during the inspection?
I wasn't, unfortunately. I wasn't there. The owner, the licensee, she was there, and the caregivers, and she didn't tell me at the moment what's going on until later that day. And I wasn't aware what's going on. I was really shocked when she called me.
How often did you...
I go there like 2-3 days a week, but mostly weekends. Unless there's a concern or emergency.
And how long would you spend on those given days?
Like 4 to 8 hours, depending on when I do some the paperwork.
One of your citations was, if I read this right, you didn't have a trained caregiver in your absence.
Yes.
And you say I go on weekends most of the time.
Yeah.
So
yes. I go
what happened
the,
there?
I go the owner, the licensee, she's the designated manager, and she just tells me things what I need to do, and then mostly she does many things, and then I'm so disappointed because a lot of things she is wrong, she's mistaken. For example, like uncertified caregivers she hired because at that time it was COVID time, pandemic, and people, caregivers, caregivers did just come and go, they don't want to work, they stay for a few days or a week and then they leave. We can't keep up our schedules because we don't know who's staying longer. And then we're desperate to find the caregivers. And then the licensee, I was looking, and then she was looking. And then finally, she found this wasn't certified. And then she hired her without telling me And I'm not really, in this case, I'm not really comfortable that I'm not aware of the things that she did until the fact, until after the fact.
It sounds like you have a little bit of a communication problem going on with your owner. Would that be a fair assessment?
Sounds like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
As a manager, what is your responsibility?
I go there to check the papers, and I check the residence and the menu, all the policies and procedures. But when she hired us uncertified caregivers, I wasn't there. I didn't know.
When she has uncertified caregivers and you find out, what do you tell your owner?
I found out that this is wrong, this is not right, but she get rid of her. No, she said it's okay. We're desperate to get a caregiver. We can't find one yet.
What was the person hired as an assistant caregiver?
Yes, she was assistant caregiver, but at that time, the caregiver left to get something at the store.
So the certified caregiver left.
Yeah,
the assistant caregiver in the home alone.
Home alone. Yeah, and then the store bureau came.
Why do you continue to hang your license on the wall then?
She was promising me that this happened again. It doesn't happen again. And then she said we'll fix it. And she paid a fine of the DHS. And then now I realize I cannot face this anymore because it seems like her mistake is no end.
You still work there?
Not anymore. I canceled last few days. I don't want to work there anymore.
Did you notify the board that your certificate is no longer there?
Yes, I did.
Do you work in another facility?
Yes, I canceled too as well.
You manage a second one, right?
Yes.
So you
that's
just true. There,
yeah, both of them. Yeah, both of them I canceled.
But you have your certificate someplace else right now. You're managing.
Yeah, it's still there, but I already informed her that I'm no longer a manager.
Okay.
Both of them.
Oh, so you were overseeing two homes?
Yes.
For the same owner?
Oh, no. Different owners.
Different owners. But you're not hanging at either one of them now? Or you're going to remove yourself?
Yeah, it's still there,
from
but
both.
I have to remove, yeah.
From both, okay. And then are you planning to use your certificate again someplace?
That's, I have to make plans. Because I can't, yeah, maybe if I want to, I can have my own business. I can take care of my.
Is that your husband back there shaking his head? No.
That's my family.
Sorry. So then if you go to hang your certificate someplace, from these experiences, what are you going to do differently?
I have to mentor more often all the caregivers and the paperwork, policy procedures, all the personnel, the menu, all everything. But right now, I don't think I want to continue because I'm just disappointed.
Mr. President, okay. From the staff, and this is, must be a little emotional for you, I understand. I just want to make sure that I understand from the staff perspective. You have noticed these two facilities that you no longer want to work there, but your certificate is still hanging? Yes,
yes
or no?
Yes.
So you are still, so you haven't terminated any relationship officially with either one of these facilities that you were the manager before, is that correct?
Yes.
Executive Director Confer, there is a notice of appointment dated today ending both.
For one of them or both?
It says both in the note.
Both, yeah.
So have you taken down?
Oh, not yet. I have
when,
to go
when
there.
When do you plan on doing that?
As soon as I can, as soon as possible, probably tomorrow, next day.
Well, no, you should do it today. If you've noticed this, so depending on when you pull down your license is when you stop being a manager. Mm-hmm. Just telling us that you're going to do it is not enough. So that's why I was asking clarification, because I wasn't understanding what you were telling us. So thank you. You clarified it.
If a lawsuit files and it's on the wall, you're it.
Yeah, I will get it.
You're it. You better get it down if that's your intention. Now.
Okay.
Certainly your prerogative. The board doesn't offer advice, but you have something you probably want to think about. All right. Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 446.11, R433-407A and B1 for a professional conduct and complaint number 2023-0169 involving manager Isabel D'Angelo, and the board offer a consent agreement to be signed within 10 days, so the matter will be forwarded to formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following additions. Suspension of the certificate with stated suspension as long as the terms of consent agreement are met. Probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $524.82. 3 hours of continuing education with executive director's pre-approval required and document completion in each of the following areas. Service plans and personnel requirements. Other terms, these continuing education hours are in addition to the renewal requirement of R433-50.82. Any costs of the probation are those of the certificate holder.
Second.
Ken, Susan.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Cook.
Aye.
Member Felix.
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, very well. So the board has voted to offer the consent agreement to resolve the allegations. Staff will send that out to you within the next couple of days. If you have questions, let me know. I'll try to answer them then. Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you very much.
Yvonne Bulletin. Yvonne here. All right, I'm going to go down the list. Don't come up yet, but if you're here, raise your hand, please. Nicholas Rodica. William Rosler. Adrian Garcia. Blanca Thurman. Marino Ambrosio, Jonathan Gonzalez, Paul Balamantan-Kai, Regimus Uzoma, Jonathan Gonzalez. Okay, so I will make the motion to approve staff recommendation for disciplinary consent agreements and a formal hearing for items 3, 4, 6 through 8, 10 through 15.
Would you also like that motion to include combining 0371, 0379, and 0170 against respondent Gonzalez.
Who is that individual?
He has 3 complaints, so would you like to combine them into one when you offer the consent?
Yeah, 14
and 15 will be one.
So we could we take action in that particular case on the issues that are involved? Or do we just request do a consent agreement that
That's
what does? Yeah, that's the motion. So we can, in addition, combining complaints 170,
371 and 371.
Member Stevens, so the consent agreement that will be issued offered is a consent agreement for voluntary surrender, okay, which is what the board does right now. So.
All right, so second.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Stevens?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, next let's move on to staff recommendation for non-disciplinary letter of concern. Carol Mazza.
Thank you.
Welcome. That's for the record, if you could introduce yourself.
Carol Mazza.
All right, well, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And Bill, when you're ready.
Sure. So, complaint 2023-NCI-0141. Licensee is Carol Mazza, who is present here today. And on September 1st, 2022, the DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Brookdale Central Paradise Valley, located in Phoenix. Compliance inspection identified 8 deficiencies, 5 different areas. One of them was a repeat deficiency. Ms. Mazza was noticed of the complaint. She did provide a written response, and on approximately February 28th of 2023, DHS took enforcement action, and they imposed a civil money penalty of $750 for 2 substantiated violations. One of them was a repeat, and Ms. Mazza is here today to discuss the matter with the board.
All right, and when did you start working at this facility?
April of 21.
How large is it?
137 units.
Census?
It was 106 at the time.
106.
So it looks like you also had an uncertified caregiver for somebody who had not completed the training course.
So the surveyor questioned the validity of the certificate that we had on hand.
Ah. And what do you do now?
So I'm not there anymore.
Okay. Well, I was there for that.
For me?
What would you do?
Oh, we verify every certificate. Okay. I'm that, yes. I was there for survey in September. I gave the board notice that I was leaving on the 16th of November. My last day there was the 18th of November of last year. So I wasn't even aware what the final SOE was to the community. I had gotten a notice in March for a different Brookdale that I never worked at, that I was having an enforcement action. So I called the board, got it figured out that the enforcement I got was to the person that took over where I just left. And she got mine. So the statement of fishing, the plan of correction, and the civil enforcement were all done by the current administrator. So everything I've supplied was given by the current administrator with their plan of correction.
So how are you validating or verifying certificates?
Oh, we verify that through the portal to make sure that they're valid. Even if it's an older community that, or an older school that may have been in question, we contact the board to find out if that parameter of time that the certificate we're looking at was valid for that time period that the school was being trained.
And so that wasn't the case that the surveyor saw. Wasn't the case that the school was...
He was questioning how the signature was, or the name was on the certificate. I mean, he had a little tape measure and was kind of looking at, of how it looked like it was photoshopped or something. We questioned at the time, when the surveyor was there, if the caregiver had in possession that certificate, and he did not. So I know that the plan of correction that was done by the current administrator, they put that individual back to the caregiving class.
So
So you arrived in April of 2021.
Mm-hmm.
The inspection was September of
22.
And six out of seven personnel are supposed to have fingerprint cards, didn't have them cleared properly. So how do you check that within your system to make sure that you've got authorized, safe people in your building?
So my current business office manager, where I'm at now, we call and verify through the Department of Public Safety.
But when you're at Brookdale, how did you do that?
The business office manager was to have done that, and she did not.
How do you check on your business office manager when you were there? Do you meet with those people on a regular basis?
And that was not relayed to me in a...
Talk to me about your quality management or quality assurance program. What do you have? What did you have on that plan to track and monitor, and who was accountable for that?
So when I was at that facility, there was not a quality management program in place.
Really?
That was.
Wonderful.
I do in my facility currently.
Is that a common Brookdale pattern?
I can only speak for my building when I went into it.
They have a plan, it's just like implemented as a building.
Correct. There was nothing. When I stepped in, there was nothing.
So were the fingerprint cards on site? They just hadn't been verified?
Correct.
Is that correct?
Correct. There wasn't that. We typically now put a little signature and a date when it's verified through Department of Public Safety. That was not on there.
And that had been delegated to the
business office.
And the, let's see, September you arrived. So the repeat deficiency was right before you were there. Before you arrived.
Right, before I arrived.
Okay, by a moment.
Yes.
I move that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation of complaint number 23-0141 against Carol Jane Mazza. An issue of letter of concern. Board's concern is manager failed to ensure garbage and refuse were properly stored. The incentive.
Letter dismiss.
Okay, Susan. The motion dies. Failure or second.
I move that the board find insufficient evidence of a violation and dismiss complaint number 23-0141 against Kyle Mazza.
You want to dismiss? Did I do that right?
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
I'll second that.
Second. Larry.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Felix.
Aye.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
No.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right. Very well. Thank you so much. Okay, next we're going to move on to tab 6, Thomas Brooks. Complaint 2023, NCI 0144. Welcome. And for the record, can you introduce yourself, please?
My name is Kurt Brooks.
Hey.
I'm Tracy Ellison, Mr. Brooks' attorney.
Okay.
Can you say your name again? I didn't quite catch that.
Tracy Ellison.
Thank you.
If you come to council, let's know at the beginning of the meeting.
Oh, sure. We did sign in, but we can let you know in advance.
Yeah, we've got council here. I'd like to try to see if I can.
Thank you.
Apologize for your wait.
Yeah.
All right. Go on your right.
Sure. This is complaint 2023-NCI-0144. Lastly, as Thomas Burson, who's present here today, was attorney Tracy Olson. And on December 27, 2022, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Atria Campana Del Rio, located in Tucson. Client's inspection identified 5 deficiencies in 4 different areas. One of the deficiencies was a repeat deficiency. Mr. Booth was the notice of the complaint, and he did provide his written response. And on approximately February 22nd, 2023, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $250 for one substantiated repeat violation. And Mr. Brooks is here today to discuss the matter with the board.
Is this a center?
I'm sorry, what?
Is this a center? Assisted living center?
It's a community, yeah.
Yes.
Residence community.
First of all.
Yeah. 100 beds.
100 beds.
Yeah, 254 total.
All right, so it looks like the reason you're here is really revolving around looks like a self-report. Or what is it?
No, it's really kind.
All right, tell us about why you're here.
I've prepared something I'm going to read. So, good morning, Mr. President and board members. My name is Kirk Brooks. I'm the manager of Campana Del Rio, an Atria senior living facility. Here with me today is Tracy Olson, my attorney. Thank you for the opportunity to address you today. The complaint before you inserts 5 citations from ADH's inspection last year. I want to start by apologizing to the board for the deficiencies. Myself and all the leaders at Atria take compliance with state laws and regulations very seriously. I am thankful that these citations have been brought to my attention and that I've had the opportunity to address and correct each one. Without restating the information presented to you in my written response, I wanted to assure you that we are now in compliance with the applicable rules and regulations as detailed in the written response, and we've implemented new systems to ensure that we remain in compliance with those regulations. I did want to take a minute to address the 3rd deficiency, as it is noted a repeat deficiency in the inspection. Failure to produce requested documentation within a 2-hour window. There are 2 important points to understand to this deficiency in context. First was, this was a repeat for the deficiency for the facility. This was not a repeat deficiency under my tenure as manager, as I've only been with the facility for 1 inspection. Second, while it is true that this deficiency was also cited in Campana Del Rio's inspection in 2021, it involved different circumstances. In 2021, the facility failed to produce specific policies within a 2-hour period. There, the documentation existed, and it was not produced in a timely manner. To address this knowledge gap, the staff were retrained. In 2022, the facility failed to produce centralized documentation regarding when our policies were last reviewed and updated. This is the same documentation that was missing in citation number 2. So citation number 2 and number 3 relate to the same documentation error. Prior to 2022 inspections, Atria had a practice of regularly reviewing and revising its policies. While policy revisions were noted on the face of each policy, any policy review that did not result in a policy revision was not documented. Consistent with citation number 2, there was no centralized document to track all of the policy review and revisions that were already occurring. As a result, it was not produced within a 2-hour window, not because our facility was not aware of the requirement, but because it simply did not exist. I do not offer this as an excuse, but as an explanation of the nuances that the board should, I would like to consider when evaluating the context of the deficiencies. I take full responsibility for my facility's compliance, and I'm proactively working to improve processes to ensure that these issues do not occur again. I appreciate and agree with the staff's recommendation that these deficiencies do not rise to the level of discipline. I would just respectfully ask the board to take this concept into consideration. So, with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
So,
sorry, it didn't seem to sound so dry.
That was good. So the first deficiency is because the policies weren't there.
Correct.
Second deficiency is because they weren't all signed as being updated. They were there, but not all were updated. But
so what we do, what the company does, a very large company, is they review the policies, but they don't document that there's no changes, there's no documentation that it was reviewed. The only time that a revision is done, the policy itself has a revision date, and we get new policies. And then the citation, the citation that was from a previous one also was because we didn't produce it within 2 hours. So the first time, we didn't produce it in 2 hours. The second time it came around, they said the same thing. We didn't produce it, but it didn't actually exist because we didn't ever have documentation that we reviewed every single policy within a 3-year period.
And so how did you fix that?
So the legal team and the policy committee with Atria, they put together a compliance tracker, and we now have a tracker in place. It's on our legal homepage. So the surveyor comes back in again. It's already there. We can say, here it is. Everything has been reviewed in the last 3 years.
And so something that didn't get a revision in writing has still been approved as...
Reviewed. Everything has been
reviewed and approved.
Yeah.
And it's so the policy's in place.
Yeah. So we don't necessarily, we have all these policies, we don't, they review them, but they don't check off that they're reviewed on a certain date every year. So,
Ms. Olson, I think maybe you have some complimenting information.
Yeah, and so at this point, now there is centralized documentation that indicates when a policy has been reviewed. So if it's not on the face of the policy, we do have a document that reflects the date it was reviewed. And if it was revised, it also reflects that revision date, and then you can cross-reference to the applicable policy. The deficiency from 2021 that's cited as a repeat deficiency didn't have to do with this particular documentation. It was a different documentation that wasn't produced.
All right, and that just wasn't produced. So now we have that in place, and everybody's been retrained, and
we're good to go. It got called a repeat because it was in the same kind of category. Right,
because that was a 2-hour window. They're saying we didn't produce it within 2 hours, but it didn't actually exist. Everything else they wanted, we gave it to them within 2 hours. So, make sense?
Yes.
No.
You made it so easy.
So maybe I'm completely missing this. So you have the policy.
Yeah.
It just didn't have a current review date.
Correct.
And you were working the policy.
Correct.
And you work the policy until you get an update, basically, with your
Correct.
Organization.
Correct. But what DHS is saying is we have to, there has to be documentation that every policy we have has to be reviewed within three years. So we just didn't have that documentation showing that it had been reviewed within 3 years. That's what the citation was.
And that's really helped Atria now. In all your facilities to have it in the legal law place now. There's one location, so now everyone knows where to go and find the policies.
Right, for Arizona community, correct.
Ms. Olson, do you have anything further that you would like to say and to perhaps convince the board that there's more of a dismissal versus a lot of concern?
Thank you, Mr. President. I think our view is that all of the deficiencies have been addressed and they've been corrected. There are plans of corrections to ensure that these don't happen again. And we do want to assure the board that this repeat deficiency wasn't for lack of understanding the deficiencies that came around last cycle. Those are recognized and plans of action have been put forward. But this is a different deficiency that has since been corrected. And with that, we would respectfully request that the board dismiss.
All right, thank you. All right.
I move that the board find insufficient evidence of violation and dismiss complaint number. Oh, I can get backwards. Sorry. I'll make sure here. 2023-NCI-0144 against Thomas Brooks.
Second, Susan and Kim.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Cook?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, very well. Yeah, thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, let's see. We've got all the other cases adjudicated. Okay, let's move on to the central. All right, board president's report.
2023 mid-year meeting. I would like to go to that. So we need to have a discussion and a vote. If the approval wants to go, it will be covered by NAB.
Where are they opening that this year?
It's New Orleans.
Oh, I'm going to vote. I'm going to do it.
Can we drop the president to go to New Orleans?
We're meeting there?
Yeah,
what do you mean
that?
That'll be where, yeah, we can just hold our meeting there remotely.
So we have a motion by Board Member Brimhall to send...
I know, that was hard to...
I know, I got it. To send President Kidder to this year's NAB meeting. Is there a second?
That's not what I heard.
Is there a second to the motion?
A second.
Thank you. All in favor? Please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Maybe the budget.
Now that you're getting all your crunch hours,
yeah, right.
Your nursing home board.
Oh, like I get you get one CDU.
That's it.
That's
3 days.
Yeah.
Two days.
One.
Yeah,
there's one educational session.
Do you need?
Well, I get there's two. You one for the board of governors meeting, and then one for the educational session.
It's just the experience. What happens there stays there.
I've never been.
Oh, you're having a great time.
You've never been? Huh. So, the board president's report, can I offer critique of their
angle? Seamus will get his thunder
talk. He's a mobile, but he will be all over this. As far as critique, I appreciate everybody's comments and the questions that we have. For me, once I start to get to a point to say, this, it is what it is, let's get to the vote as quick as we can, especially on the days when we have a really long agenda. We can continue to ask complimenting questions of others that have already been answered. If you need to ask a question, ask the question. But if, we're already at a point where we've got a decision about if anyone says, I'd be prepared to make a motion, at that point, if there's no other update, outstanding questions, let's do it and then we can move on. But I think today went really well in that regard.
Do we have to vote on that? Because I'll do my best.
No, I don't have to vote on that. Let's see what else comes there. Again, just a reminder overall, when something bad has happened in a home, and sometimes really bad things happen, our responsibility is not to just punish somebody, like in Hurricane Katrina, they fired the FEMA director. And that FEMA director could have been the very person that could have helped bring them along and learn and grown from that tragedy that happened. Now, from a media perspective, that firing that FEMA director made somebody feel good. Like, oh yeah, we took action. Did it solve the problem? So I think, again, that's our focus and our unity is what's the problem? And, what could the manager or the administrator have done differently to prevent it from happening? And what we saw in one case is the manager wasn't involved. Bad things happened. The manager wasn't doing anything. Another manager comes up, bad things happen. They say, well, the manager hit the floor, the manager was doing this, and they doing the best that she could with what she had. There's a difference between those two kinds of cases. And to me, that's part of the justice of it. Do we punish somebody just for the sake of something bad happening? Or do we punish somebody because they've done something bad? It's about that culpability part of it. And that's a focus on the legacy that I want to be able to leave on at some point someday. I've had board members over the years that when bad things happen, I had one simple, somebody has to be the punisher, and it's going to be the administrator. And I said, to what purpose? So those are the kind of things of self-reflection and trying to drill down with the legacy of, what's their involvement? Okay.
Thank you for sharing that, bring it to our attention, because sometimes I think we need to hear the criticism sometimes to make sure this is a reality, because it's not a criticism, it's reality of, time of art to have done our homework prior to coming to the board meeting, and then just to sit here and say, this is our job now.
I over so many years, I've looked at so many cases, and I'll read through the paper part of it, and think, this is really bad. And I'll have an emotional response to it. And then once I get here and I start asking questions, there's other factors that really are playing into this that need to be considered.
That's why it's real important, excuse me, that's why it's real important these people show up. Mm-hmm. Because I'll get the case and I'll say, oh my God. And then I recommend blah, blah, blah. Well, if they show up, they can explain it away a whole lot of different person's thinking on the table. And the interaction that they have with you guys helps you make a clearer decision. You know, all the information coming from a horse's mouth versus what I've written based on what they told me in paperwork.
Right.
Two different things. So something looks bad on paper, but in reality, it might be something totally different.
Oh, I had a survey had 21 deficiencies. I didn't come before this book, but it was stuff. You know, it was not updating. It was not updating policies. You know, that's a deficiency. Is that a capital offense? You know, no. They're following the policy. It's just they didn't meet the requirement of a three-year review. So you have to look at like the scope and the severity of it too. Yeah. All right. Executive Director report.
Mr. President, members of the board, that was a conversation with a good segue into part of the Executive Director's report, and that being the sunset review. So I'm going to skip to that right now.
Oh, I thought it was
the end. It actually was. I'm completing the circle. In sunset review, I gave you a copy of the letter that we sent to the legislature, which is our sunset factor response. Unfortunately, we've gone through this several times over the last 5 years. As you know, I've been here for 2 years. I can't be happier with the case review process, the case review program, how things are hitting the front door through investigation, and propagating up to the board for the decisions right now. We added some new things. We added block votes. We've become more efficient with that review. We handled triple the amount of cases from when I first started here. And we all know, you know, the administrative decision to open everything up, give it a number, investigate it, bring it to you, was basically something that I felt we needed to do for the sunset review, for the oversight of the newspapers and DHS, everything that we're doing. And I think it's really coming to fruition. I appreciate all the hard work. So every now and then we need these little checks to make sure that we're doing things right, and I think we're doing that. Sunset review is going to start this fall. There will be a joint legislative health committee meeting where we have members from the House on the health committee, and you have members from the Senate on the health committee get together. They're going to look at our performance over the last 2 years, and they will decide to make a recommendation to the full legislature about whether or not they want to keep us as an agency for the next 8 years, terminate us, put us at DHS. All those same things that we went through 2 years ago are going to happen again this fall. All we can do is try to manage it, come up with a little bit of a plan to talk with the people that we need to talk to. I have already floated that sunset response letter out to a couple of the associations and key legislative folks so that they're aware of it. My plan is to chat with all the legislative people on the subcommittee between now and when they set up our subcommittee meeting this fall. I don't know when that is. We are one of several sunset reviews that will probably be happening. And it's either a good thing or a bad thing because DHS is going to be happening at the same time as we are. Okay? They got a whole myriad of problems themselves. Somebody showed me numbers as far as their budget requests this morning. They are asking, who was that? Is that you?
No, you told us about it, so.
I gave you a letter.
Thank you.
Oh.
DHS in their budget request is asking for close to $9 million for extra surveyors, extra staff in their licensing area with their 2025 budget request. So those are the kinds of budget issues, political issues that are going to come up this fall. If they get that money for those people, the number of complaints that we get are going to quadruple, triple again. So it has a trickle-down effect. So all that stuff's going to be talked about this fall. I don't have any specifics on when, but I will keep you apprised on when I know that the subcommittee hearings are happening and so forth. We had a newspaper article that came out yesterday in the Arizona Republic front page. While we were not named with it, I didn't see it until this morning when board members Steven gave it to me. It's a front page of the paper, Assistant Living. I don't even remember what is the title of it.
It's about assisted living, and it's about four.
I have heard somewhere that I trusted.
And it's basically describing two people that got into a tussle in a dementia unit, and one of them got killed. And their story and the family's story is really what it's about.
Who wrote it? Caitlin.
Yeah. Yeah. The same lady that does long-term care for their
clients. So we have that kind of, and thank you for that, we have that kind of outside environmental influence that we have to think about with the board, our decisions, how that rolls up to the legislature. It's all going to be talked about. There's probably going to be follow-ups on that one, my expectation. Yeah. She's been working on that article since late last year.
Yeah.
Just a heads up on sunset review and kind of what I feel that we've been doing and have gotten done over the last 2 years. So, does anybody have any questions on sunset review?
Are you able to alert us of when the issue will be discussed in chamber?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's an art. You know how that goes, legislative committee. Sometimes we should be prepared and always are prepared to answer. Sometimes we should just kick back and let them do their gig. I don't have a flavor of what we're walking into yet.
But they give you notice that it's going to happen.
And it can, like, when we went through it the end of last year, I may get 24 hours notice or I may get a week. I'll let you know when I know.
So is this committee just legislators?
Yes.
It's not that other committee that met a long time ago.
No, this is a joint legislative. It's called a committee of reference.
Okay.
They may have changed it, which is a joint health committee of members from the House Health Committee and members from the Senate Health Committee. Their chairs from both will be involved, and they swap leadership between years. So it's either, Shoke or Mike Negro. I'm not sure who's actually sitting in the chair. They started to co-chair some things too. So it's health committee for both houses. They'll make a recommendation to the full legislature, which convenes in January, what to do with our 2 year sunset.
Well, you should request that ADHS goes first so that the budget gets approved. You modify yours so that you can.
I'm actually hoping that when you have a high-profile agency that's in the shape of airing with their recommendations, the smaller agencies tend to get overshadowed. And that very may well be what happens to us. We'll see what happens.
Just ask for more money.
I always do. let me see. Mr. President, I did provide our budget request, our budget status for this year in fiscal year 2025. We submitted that with that increase for $110,000, which was board investigator, some other things I threw in there. We won't know about that until after next legislative session, whether it's accepted.
So if it's approved, then it gets kicked into your pocket starting
July 1st of 2025.
Okay.
And I don't know what's going on. I mean, you have such a juxtaposition between the legislature and the governor's office right now. I have no idea how that's going to shake out as far as money here, there, or general fund, or anything like that. Let me see. What else? If anybody has questions, just hop in. We need to get started on a five-year rule review. That's due before the end of the year. I've mentioned it last month. I haven't done a lot with it, but we really need to get some suggestions of what rules need to be changed.
Do you need a committee?
I don't know whether it's more beneficial to have a committee to talk about or just solicit comments from everybody, include them all. That's the way I'm heading right now. I was going to send you out kind of a form and have you reply to a top five. These are the things and rules I think should be changed. And then kind of roll that up into one report. That's the way I'm leaning right now. But just a reminder, it's due. And we also have our fee increase that is at the governor's office and has not yet been approved. I haven't heard anything about that. In other words, we're not going to be able to increase the budget unless we get that fee increase. So it's a domino effect. And then I included the complaint licensing steps. If anybody has any questions on those, so you can see where we are. There has been a small uptick in the number of administrators. I think we're up to 333 or 334.
Yeah, we were down in the low 290s.
So we've seen a little increase in that. We had a decrease in the manager certificates due to renewal. Now we have a bunch of people that failed to renew applying for a license again. They seem to be rolling in the last 2 or 3 weeks. But those numbers came down a little, but talking with Al, that's not unusual. We usually lose about 500 certificate holders and then gain them back over the next year or two. So those stats seem to hold pretty true.
You're switching these over to birthdays?
Yes.
Is that what I think I remember?
Yep.
Okay.
So manager now is done, and administrators are already done. So going into 25 and
I saw
24 and 25.
Mm-hmm.
24 and 25, it's your birthday plus 30 days.
Okay.
You will receive emails at 30, 60, and 90 days before that renewal as reminders. And just to let everybody know, we are going to divorce Salesforce and the database that we currently have. It's going to be a very lengthy divorce process, languishing over probably 6 months. But starting in January of 24, I'm hoping that we have our new system up, which is Thentia. And I'm really hoping it's a lot more user-friendly. Has a couple more bells and whistles as far as getting copies of licenses and stuff like that. So by the time you go through our administrative renewal in 24, starting 24, 25 for managers, we'll have an entirely new database and system on board. I really think it's going to make a big difference. And reduce the number of calls again in the agency about problems. So. That's all I have. I probably talked too much.
So was there a class or like life care or a facility that just finished all their AIT programs to have a higher range of administrators coming through now for SNPs?
I noticed Ensign Group had a bunch of administrators come through.
Yeah, we saw a couple come through. So.
Yeah. We're going to try to get AIT their own webpage so that that information gets out there a little better, and at least we have the contact information that's being updated, but we're going to try to get their own webpage on our website so it has all the information on AIT, community meetings, time frames, all that kind of stuff.
It seems like from people that call me to talk about the application process that they don't understand anymore. So they don't understand the difference between NCIA and NAB. The actual application process, I've spoken to 4 people in this last year that said, I can't get a hold of the licensing board. I said, well, have you applied? And then, they called out, they don't want to apply. Like, you got to do something.
Yes.
Unfortunately, that kind of response is we called and nobody answers the phone is a bunch of crap because we're constantly answering the phone and getting back to people. So That's a real bad, that's a knee jerk.
Well, I have a real issue with that because they have to have a sponsor that goes through it, and that person should already know how to sit here and nurture them and go through the whole entire process to the end. And what I'm hearing is that this individual or individuals really are just pushing them through to get to the end, and they're really they're on their own. They're just paddling up water as fast as they can. So it's unfortunate.
I do know that I got invited to and attended an AIT meeting within the last 2 months. They regularly meet on all the candidates on the second or third Friday of every month. So I know they're keeping tabs on it, and a lot of sponsors attend those meetings.
Just in the college, American College?
Administrators and training program. This is our on-the-job training. Are we talking
can
about
we ever go? Yeah, can we ever go and be invited just to go in here? Because my concern is, is that just to kind of hear the, some of the questions. I mean, I remember when I had to go through my halfway mark for my AIT. Almost everybody was like, you got to go get your CNA license. And I was like, I just want to focus on business and dietary. And they put me through, so I didn't have to go through my CNA training.
I don't think Misty Valentino is the administrator of the AIT for AIT. I don't think she would have any problem with a board member or staff sitting in on one of these monthly meetings.
I just find it to be very interesting and, you know, educational for me personally, for our community that I serve.
Seamus, are you getting uncomfortable?
Yeah, we did,
Nancy. Too far down the rabbit hole.
We're getting off the agenda. All right, so is there anything else on the agenda that is merits discussion? Next meeting is October 16th, 2023.
I got a quick question, real quick. Sorry. What we had today, Ms. Kabidi, how did she get?
Oh, we're not talking about a specific case, right?
Not specific.
Just a general question.
Just a general question. How is she able to meet virtual?
I think you're asking our attorney that question. So generally, I didn't want to do that. I think the person should be here at the hearing so the board can see them, so they should be responded. There's more to it than what I wanted. The process rights involved, what should be done. And quite honestly, I got advice from our Solicitor General that, Jack, you need to provide or try to provide an online or teleconference for this person at the hearing because they've asked for it. And it was explained to me as a due process issue, and that if I did do it, I would be denying them due process rights for their certificate. The certificate is actually constitutionally a property, right? So anyway, after telling her no several times, I was advised that I should do it. That's how she got to the online thing. My opinion is different. She's out of country. They want to go back in the country. Probably won't in the future.
Mm-hmm. I think that was difficult for all of us.
That can be answered by the Attorney General's office because I've never had a successful hearing via either technology or phone yet. It is always difficult.
But as a board, can we say we're never do that, man.
I think that's something that could be an agenda for next week for guys to talk about how you feel about virtual stuff.
Unfortunately, it's the new way. And we've got to change our ways to keep up with technology because my question was, okay, well, if we're affecting due process rights that way, what about a virtual manager that logs into the system once a week? We require a person to be in the system. So the conversation segued into other things, but that's how that ended up there.
We've always known this and said you've been allowed to call in.
Yes.
Is that always been the case? No. Okay.
No, I don't have. You've been here for the meetings. We have trouble with board members hearing.
Was that because you're in COVID then? Because we had people who called in who weren't in that.
It's what stipulated is board members may be present, but we did try to accommodate board members.
Yeah. But I thought we had it in the respiratory board because we had so many problems that now part of our agenda is if they're on the agenda, they must be present unless if they make other arrangements that really Jack.
I would call it best practice. And I've got to kind of look at best practices and maybe review that a little. If we have better technology, maybe it would be a better thing. But to your point, Nate,
yeah,
it could go to the initial review. It could go to board members' attendance. And we've done that before. I've had an online meeting and kind of a cattle call. I've got 25 people online. It's not great. Everybody tried to interrupt. They have a question whenever they want to ask it. So we would have to do training for that etiquette at both the board, staff, and the respondent levels.
It would be better. I don't know, we're not far astray, but in person is so much better. You know, especially with my hearing, and doing during COVID, doing it on the phone was just impossible.
Paul, did that answer your question?
It does. I mean, to me, I just kind of, I don't know. I understand due process and everything, but I mean, for a very circumstance, it's just like, let's be in person, you know, and if we can make them be in person.
It's changing. Okay. We're not going to be able to do that. And we could talk about subpoena and stuff in the future, but it's changing.
You got no one showing up anyway. I mean, look at today.
Oh, yeah.
Three of them show up.
Well, we're all going to have virtual goggles.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Anything else?
No. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for coming down.
All right. Peter,
good job.
I appreciate it.
Nice. Thank you.